interested in how Ghana can still keep shaping its democracy. And tonight I have some brilliant minds connecting with us in studio and via Zoom. I have David Kretos here. He is a lawyer and he connects with us in studio. David, welcome. Great. I hope that we'll have some very good conversations together here.
Too.
Great. I have Della, is a political and social activist, and he connects with us via Zoom. Della, thanks for joining. Jonathan Atitogbe is the president of TAIN, University of Ghana. He's also connecting with us via Zoom. We also have Apia Dankwa Prince, University of Ghana TESCOM president. He's also joining via Zoom. And Nana Karikari is a Ghanaian journalist based in the United States of America. Good evening to you, lady and gentlemen. Thanks for connecting.
Good evening.
And you're listening, and to you who is listening, wherever you are, I want to hear from you. What do you make of all the things that have happened and keep happening in this country? Send us a message on WhatsApp 0551111997. 0551111997. Do join us with your comment and let's have a chat here. Let me start with you, David, because you have a legal background. You help us. I appreciate what's happening. Now, the Speaker made some pronouncement in declaring some four seats as vacant. At that point in time, what was the makeup of the House?
Okay, so at that time, the House was evenly, it was split along thin lines. We had one independent candidate, then we had the MPP controlling half of parliament and the NDC controlling half of parliament. However, the independent candidate did business with the MPP. So the MPP formed the majority caucus in the House. So that was the state of the House or the composition of the House prior to the declaration of those four seats as vacant.
So my question is, after the Speaker declared a seat as vacant, what was the composition of the House then?
So the effect of the Speaker's ruling was such that two MPP MPs were now had their seats being vacant. The independent candidate was no longer going to be in parliament, and one NDC MP. So you had 130 members of the MPP, then you have the NDC with 131 members.
Okay, so I guess the MPP had 135 and the NDC had 136 members, because it was 138, 137.
Okay.
The NDC lost one and the MPP lost three members.
Yes, so, that's right, sorry.
So at that point in time, the side that had the controlling numbers was the NDC.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Now, the NPP side goes to the Supreme Court to say, we disagree with what the Speaker of Parliament did, and we want the Supreme Court to interpret Article 97 G and H. And the Supreme Court says, we'll listen to the substantive matter, but in the meantime, we are staying the ruling. And that does it, right?
Yeah.
When the Supreme Court did that, what did it also do then to the makeup of the House?
Okay, so the effect of the Supreme Court's ruling was it restored the status quo. So whatever ruling the Speaker had taken with regards to those four vacant seats, that ruling was halted by the Supreme Court's ruling. And the structure in Parliament that existed prior to the Speaker's ruling was what was supposed to prevail.
Yes. So it means it returned the MPP side into the majority.
Exactly.
And the NDC side
remained in a minority.
Minority.
Yes.
So why the disagreement?
Well, I believe it's all stemming from this political question that's being turned around. So Parliament believes that it should be in control of its own procedure. And according to many in the minority side or in the NDC caucus, they have stated that Parliament's procedure was such that those seats were declared vacant. And after those seats were vacant, the Supreme Court, by now ruling, was encroaching into what Parliament does. So to the minority caucus or to the NDC side, as it stands now, the Supreme Court should not have pronounced that they are that the Speaker's ruling should be stayed. And so because of that, in their efforts to stay in the in-quote majority, they continued on Tuesday to see the scenes we had in Parliament.
You understand the law. Help us understand better. I appreciate it. Was the Supreme Court, or did the Supreme Court do any wrong in what it did?
Well, you see, I don't think at the point where the Supreme Court has given its ruling, it's even a question for whether the Supreme Court has done a wrong or a right.
Mm.
The Supreme Court's ruling is the Supreme Court's ruling, and it is just that. So whether you disagree with it or you agree with it, it's supposed to be followed. There are laid down procedures. You could seek a review of that ruling, but then once the Supreme Court has given its ruling, it's not in the place of us citizens to decide that our Supreme Court is wrong and we are right, so we are going to do what we want. That's why we adopted the 1992 Constitution for ourselves.
So it means that the Parliament and in fact the Speaker should be bound by what the Supreme Court did.
100%.
Okay, interesting. Let me bring in those who probably aren't lawyers like yourself, but also have been following. Let me start with you, Nana Karikari. Nana, you've been following what's happening in Ghana from your base in the United States of America. What do you make of whatever has happened since that day when the Speaker declared the seat as vacant?
I've been following what's been going on, but you know what? When the Speaker declared the seat vacant, the first thing that came to mind was he probably did that to maintain order, of course, amid escalating tensions. At the moment where we have grown men and women, politicians in parliament who are acting like little kids. Who is the majority? Who is the minority? We don't know. They don't know themselves. So I think what the Speaker of Parliament did was to avoid any escalation of the conflict that was going on, and I think that his decision actually enforced that. That said, I think also let me bring in the Supreme Court's decision.
But Nana, before you progress, at the time the Speaker made that ruling, in terms of declaring the seat as vacant, there wasn't any chaos in Parliament. It was the minority leader who had moved on the floor that the Speaker had to interpret that provision because he thinks that four members have to have their seat declared vacant since they've decided to go on the opposite direction from the ticket on which they came to Parliament.
And you are right. At the moment where the Speaker made that declaration, there was no chaos, but there could have been chaos because based on the actions of the two political parties, you have the NDC who believe they are the majority and are sitting on the side where the majority leaders are supposed to sit. And then you have the MPP who also believe that they are the majority, who are refusing to sit on the side of the minority, on the side where the minority is supposed to sit. Clearly, we could all assume or we could all foresee that there would have been conflict if the MPP had decided to stay and also mix up with the NDC, right? There wouldn't be any way to resolve the situation unless both parties' leaders decide to sit on the floor, which none of them were willing to do that. So I think, again, what the Speaker of Parliament was doing was to avoid. He was able to foresee what could have come if the MPP did not decide to walk out of Parliament, which was also a problem. You walking out of Parliament, this is where we are. We understand that they can conduct business, but decisions cannot be made. So what good does it make, right? So both political parties were putting their interests in their interests first instead of the interest of the Ghanaian people who put them in the chamber to do the job that they promised Ghanaians to do. So again, I think the decision from the Speaker of Parliament did help de-escalate any tensions that could have arisen from their behavior in Parliament.
So I guess Nana is talking more about when the Speaker adjourned the House indefinitely because of what was happening in the House. But Nana, you are in the state. If the Supreme Court had stayed the ruling of Parliament, and in Ghana we say Supreme Court is supreme in terms of even when it comes to interpretation of the Constitution, what the Supreme Court says becomes, you know, the fact. So if the Supreme Court says they mandate the Parliament to ensure that the four members of the House whose seats were declared vacant to be allowed back into the House and to perform their roles as members of Parliament, and the side or both sides didn't know exactly what to do, wasn't it a clear defiance of what the Supreme Court had ordered Parliament to do?
Great question. You know what? The Supreme Court in Ghana and in the United States play a crucial role in maintaining constitutional order and also resolving political disputes, just like what is playing out in front of our eyes. However, the difference is, despite the Supreme Court here in the United States, despite their challenges, the Supreme Court here in the U.S. operate in a framework where they encourage each party or politicians to try and resolve issues like this among themselves. So basically among the branches of government. Whereas in Ghana, the Supreme Court really has lost trust, right? Let me remind you that the sitting government, the MPP, the president actually appointed majority of the Supreme Court justices in Ghana. So Ghanaians may argue, or some of them are actually arguing that, you know what, could it be that the Chief Justice kind of is playing up to the MPP? Or could it be that these MPP leaders actually keep running to the Supreme Court because they know that they will get, the Chief Justice will play favoritism on their way? So, you know what, the thing is that here in the U.S., the Supreme Court actually operates or make sure they operate in an independent manner. Whereas in Ghana, the Supreme Court is a little bit tainted, where there's some Ghanaians, there's basically loss of trust and credibility in the Supreme Court in Ghana. That's the difference. And that's where Ghanaians are where they are right now. Both parties, either way, whatever decision that comes out of the highest court, it's going to be problematic, right? Because you're going to be having Ghanaians who are going to argue that, look, the decision came up in favoritism of the MPP because of the president be appointing majority of them. Or if it goes in the favor of the NDC, again, there's going to be a problem, right? Where the NDC leaders are going to say, look, it's a game of numbers, right? With our naked eyes, we can see that the NDC is the majority, but it goes deeper than that. Okay. This is a moment where basic mathematics, politics, and law can create some problems when they are all merged together at the same time.
Let me bring in Della here. And Della, let's start from where Nahana is ending. Now, isn't this whole idea about the Supreme Court being tilted towards a certain side more of a perception? Because we're in this country when both sides have won and lost cases in the Supreme Court. Isn't it merely based on perception thrown by people that the Supreme Court is tainted? Hello, Della. Della, if you can hear me, kindly unmute so we can hear you. Okay. While I wait for Della, do I have Della there? If I don't have Della, let me move on and bring in Jonathan Atichobe. He's president of TAIN on Legon. Jonathan, how do we build on from where we are? And again, if you look at the constitutional provisions, is this even an issue where we need to disagree, or there should be confusion about the understanding of what it says?
All right, so thank you very much. I will extend my greetings to the people who are listening to us, and then also my greetings to the management and then the workers of Joy FM. So on your question, I think that interpretation or the meaning of Article 96, that is G and H, it is just clear to everyone. When you take the Constitution and you read, you could easily understand that, yes, this is what exactly that the Constitution or the clause is saying. So per the ruling, and you know that the Speaker of Parliament is not anybody that can just stand up and then do anything on its own. It's based on some experience and then some knowledge that could actually trigger him to actually make some things. And he's not the first person to also work on this clause, or let me say the article. His predecessor also did the same thing. That is Michael Kwe. He also did the same thing. And there's something clear that he shouldn't even push the Afenyo Makin to that extent to even call in the Supreme Court. You could clearly see that the clause states that if you are a member of parliament and you cross carpet or you go independent, automatically you forfeit your, how they call it, your seat 3 months to the election, the general election. And that is the clear thing that the Speaker of Parliament also actually made his ruling on. And we could also know that in this country, we have separation of powers. And parliament is parliament. The court to, let me say, the Supreme Court to is a body on its own. And so every matter that happens in parliament supposed to remain in parliament. This clause is just clear. People, I heard a lot of people saying that parliament is actually entitled to make laws, and then Supreme Courts are there to just interpret the laws. But then people who made their own laws, you could see that they also understand all how they are bound to do their activities within their how they call it strength. You could see clearly that they are also doing the same thing. So the extent that Afenyo Markins have to take the issue to the Supreme Court to seek interpretation, it was a different thing on its own. You could see that they realized, and there is this
we have been speaking to the former majority leader, Osei Mensah-Bones, who says in 2020, Right Honorable Alban Sumana Bagbin, who was the second deputy speaker then, disagreed with the speaker, Professor Michael Kwe, when he declared that former seat as vacant. Isn't it interesting that he, as speaker now, is going against his own conviction in 2020?
All right, to me, I don't have evidence buttressing that particular statement that Speaker Bagbin disagreed with him. But then, per what just that has happened recently, I have actually think that what the speaker did, it was just based on what Speaker Michael Kwe did. Because the Constitution clearly states that when you actually forfeit your party and you go independent, you should actually vacate parliament 3 months to the election. And that was exactly what the speaker also ruled on. And it's clear. You know that, you see, the Supreme Court has that overseeing jurisdiction over the other body. But then it doesn't mean that anything that the Supreme Court says is final. No, you could see that it's Ghanaians, we the citizens, who is also serving as a watchdog on the Supreme Court. After the ruling or the outcome of the issue sent to the Supreme Court, you could realize that every lawyers or maybe anybody who is actually embedded in the law could just tell you, say, this thing supposed not to be done in this way. The Supreme Court went to that extent that the people are now even questioning the integrity of the Supreme Court. They shouldn't have gone to that extent by giving that kind of judgment or ruling per what that has happened in Parliament. There should be separation of powers. And that is what we all have to understand. And based on that, you could see that what has happened during Tuesday is something that we were all checking whether our constitution is actually how we want it to be, because we were actually testing some clauses or the articles in the constitution. But now that the parliament has also made its rule, and then there's a separation of power, the Supreme Court is also calling on the speaker to also go against or maybe to listen to what they have said about, is something that we were all looking up to, that no, it's, we are now checking our state of our constitution.
Okay.
And we could realize that what the majority, then the majority, now that they are minority, what they did on Tuesday was something that I think it's supposed not to be done.
Who are in the minority now?
Yes, they are minority now because the Speaker of Parliament ruled that three people from their side cannot be in Parliament anymore, and one person from the NDC side, who are now majority, cannot be in Parliament anymore. And then the outcome from the Supreme Court was actually not even mentioned in Parliament for us to even know the state of the majority in Parliament.
Okay, hold on, Jonathan. Now, on Tuesday when Parliament reconvened, the Speaker mentioned that he's been served with the process from Supreme Court. And therefore, and that's why retired Justice William Atukuba says, once that has been served on the Speaker, then it takes effect until he sets it aside. The status quo of Parliament, as lawyer David Kratos said earlier, it returns. So the NPP, per the ruling of the Supreme Court, becomes majority and the NDC becomes minority.
I disagree with that because, you see, it is the Speaker said he has been served a letter from the Supreme Court. And you see, before that can prevail or work, unless the Speaker also present that one in Parliament. So then now that we are speaking and there is no information coming from the Speaker, then the NDC remain the majority. Okay. Unless the Speaker speaks that no, per the ruling from the Supreme Court, this is how it's supposed to be done. The people that has been have ruled that they need to vacate their seat in Parliament, they are now reinstated. Then that one, we could realize that their NPP is majority now. But as we speak now,
Jonathan, that's fine. Let me bring in a lawyer before I go to Apia Dankwa. Let me bring in lawyer David because he understands the law. You explained earlier, but I want you to explain it again. Once the Supreme Court has made that pronouncement, who is majority, who is minority in the House?
Once the Supreme Court has made a pronouncement, the majority is the MPP and the minority is the NDC. Mm-hmm. The majority is the MPP because they are doing business with the independent candidate. Such they form the majority caucus. Mm-hmm. Now, the Supreme Court, when it gives its ruling, cannot have you cannot have Parliament, whether they've introduced it in Parliament, whether it's been served, whatever. Mm-hmm. Once the Supreme Court's ruling has been made, and like you rightfully pointed out, the Speaker mentioned in his address to Parliament on Tuesday that he had been served with the process. At that point, the Speaker cannot go contrary to what the Supreme Court's ruling is. Neither can anyone go contrary to what the Supreme Court's ruling is. It's only the Supreme Court which can vary that ruling. It's only the Supreme Court which can amend that ruling or give another ruling in relation to that matter. So as things stand, the Supreme Court has retained the status quo.
So that's what happened, or the impact of what happened in the Supreme Court, you know, that's to Parliament. Let me bring in Apia Dankwa Prince there. Apia, so I mean, the Speaker adjourned the House. The 15% of the majority caucus have been able to append their signature to a request to the Speaker to recall Parliament to attend to urgent government business. What do you expect the Speaker to do now?
All right. Thank you very much. I would greet party executives and then also people or listeners who are listening to us from JFM.
Okay.
What I will say is that whatever that is transpiring in Parliament is actually something that I personally saw. I saw it coming because when you have a political party like the NDC who do not understand democracy and then it's not for peace, this is what you will see.
I disagree with you, Apia Dankwa. You cannot say that because they haven't done anything that show that they are not for peace or they don't understand democracy. They have not resorted to pulling guns. They have also resorted to court. So you cannot say they don't believe in democracy or they are not peaceful.
That is fine. But then you see, when you are in a country where political party believes that there should be peace, and then you see, one thing that we should know is that the Speaker do not interpret the law. The speaker do not interpret the law. But then it is the Supreme Court which has the autonomous power to interpret the law. It is very clear in our constitution. It is very, very clear in our constitution. And so I feel like, you see, if you have any sentiments, if you have anything that you do not understand, what you do is that you go to the Supreme Court to seek interpretation. And that is exactly what the New Patriotic Party has done. Now, let's look at this. Both parties are claiming that they are all majority. What do you have to do? You have to seek interpretation. And then that is what the New Patriotic Party has done. That is what the New Patriotic Party has done. And then now let me come to the question that you rightly asked, that about 15% of parliamentarians have appended their signature and then sent a letter to the speaker to reconvene parliament. That is the right thing. That is what should happen. And then their bases were written based on the constitution. And so if you look at what the NPP majority caucus, we are the majority caucus, what they wrote to the Speaker of Parliament, they wrote in accordance with Article 112, Clause 3 of the Constitution of the Republic of Ghana, 1992, and then also Standing Order 5-3 of Parliament of Ghana. That is their basis for writing to the Speaker. And so we are hoping, or we hope that Speaker will go by whatever is in the Constitution. And so that is what I can say. And then to also reiterate in whatever that I said, what I'm trying to say is that the MPP stands for peace. The MPP is a democratic party. We believe in democracy. If there is a problem and then it needs to be solved, we all know that in this country, you have to go to the courts. And then that is what the able majority leader, Honorable Afenyo Markins, and then his team did. That is what to happen in this country. And so when it democracy, the MPP is going by democracy. The MPP stands for peace.
Okay.
This All is right. I am not a lawyer. I am not someone who can interpret the law. I do not know a lot when it comes to some of these law or decision makings about law. And so the right thing to be done is to send the case to Supreme Court. And then now, Supreme Court has given a determination on the matter that, look,
They haven't determined the substantive matter. They've only sort of, you know,
I am about to say.
Lord, you say, I mean, they've withheld.
So that is what I'm trying to say. That's
what
the has given.
Exactly, that's what I was looking for. Stay the decision of the speaker pending the determination of the substantive matter, which, of course, we'll see where this goes. Where after their determination of the case, then it becomes the standard that if you go against or you do what the Supreme Court said don't do, then of course your seat becomes vacant. Let's see how that goes. But let me welcome Della. Della is a political and social activist, and he's connecting with us via Zoom here. Della, I'm grateful to you for joining. Now, with all that is happening, I mean, the majority side says there are very important government business to be attended to, including the 2025 budget, which, of course, if it doesn't pass, because they have to sit for a certain number of days before it passes. If it doesn't, then we're expecting that the first quarter of 2025, government will find it difficult in doing any business. As an ordinary Ghanaian, what's your expectation of what Parliament should do?
Thank you very much. And I stand on existing protocol, most especially to all the discerning Ghanaians who are listening to us. First of all, I would like to, address my brother who just spoke. That you see, when you are given a platform of this nature, I think there's a need for us to understand that we are not just speaking. People are listening to our nation. Well, so he's talking about NDC is not for peace and all that. I am totally disappointed in him. My brother, who is on the CD, also spoke eloquently well with regards to the position of the law, and I respect him for that. But then it was good at a time when it was good and okay at a time when Professor Michael could make a ruling. where someone has to vacate his or her seat because he or she has moved from independent or joining another political party. It was good then.
So at that point he moved from the NPP to contest as independent.
Now that we are witnessing the same thing this time around, it is not good. It should go to Supreme Court. We should go to Supreme Court. I mean, we all know in this country that the Supreme Court in itself has been packed by Akufo-Addo. And so if you are hearing the same people who say, oh, go to Supreme Court, we should expect that we will...
Well, Della, forgive me, but I feel that when we keep sort of in court bastardizing the Supreme Court, then of course we are throwing our hands in the air to say we've lost it. But whether or not the Supreme Court, majority of the judges that were appointed by the current president, I am not sure that the judges, when it is A, they would deliberately say it is B because of who appointed them. So let us be careful how we bastardize the Supreme Court. Let's take with the substantive. If you look at the law, did they err? The Supreme Court says we are going to interpret this provision of the Constitution, Article 97, G and H. But before we do that, we are staying the ruling of the Speaker and mandating Parliament to allow the four MPs to perform their roles as members of Parliament. I am not sure that really says that they are playing to the other side of the gallery, are they?
See, nobody is bastardizing the Supreme Court. Let me put it this clear. And then I'm not bastardizing the Supreme Court either. I am only saying that the appointment that have been made over the period has been made by or was made by Akufo-Addo. And so if you have the same group of people who are calling you to go to the same person and go and seek for justice, you can imagine the outcome of the justices that you say you are going seek.
That's my point, right? I'm saying that you are alleging that because you're alleging because you don't have fact. You are saying that because the current president appointed them, then you can predetermine the outcome of a case you take to the Supreme Court. And that's why I'm advising that I think we need to, you know, restrain ourselves.
I am not the first person saying this. I am not going to be the last person who is saying this. But it is clear that we've had people who were told are NDC, MPP members who have been appointed to the Supreme Court. So I'm not the first person, even to the extent that people are even taking them to. I mean, people are even questioning them. And I'm not the first. We also...
I get it. I don't want us to shift the discussion. But I'm only saying that when the minority leader, Dr. Kesela Tofosun, won his case. I mean, that was not the... I mean, yes, he went to the Supreme Court to get that ruling. Or the NDC has had cases in the Supreme Court going in their favor. Did we say it is because...
Please, let me not digress on my point. So let me make my point clear before, please. Mm-hmm. You know, the inordinate style of a leadership, Honorable Martin Afenyu Makinis is exhibiting in Parliament. It is quite clear. And it is absolutely clear that as a leader, that sense of a leadership. In Parliament, we all know that it is a consensus building that leads. It is not about your inordinate style of a leadership. No. You need to tone down in your approach to issues. And he has lost it all from the onset. What happened? We were told that a certain individuals who were then a member of the political party, not an independence party, I mean, going back and forth. And so it has to, appoint a speaker to make a declaration to that effect, which was done. And if that was done, why wouldn't you come to Parliament and then transact your own business, a government business? I mean, you can still be in a minority and also build a consensus and transact the government business. So what is the problem? There's nothing wrong with it being a minority and still transact government business. Because if you have a good leadership staff and you are building a good consensus, you can still transact business. You cannot, put the country into a hut. To me, I am disappointed in him because he is a young leader. We are all aspiring. We are all looking up to. But I mean, he's failing us day in and out.
So I was asking you, as an ordinary Ghanaian, what do you expect Parliament to do now? The majority says, let's recall it, to attend to very pressing government business, including the budget for 2025. What do you think government should do? Parliament should do?
I mean, it is quite clear if there's a need for recall. Of course, for the sake of the ordinary Ghanaian, there should be a need for recall, but they must understand. I'm talking about MPP must understand that they are now in minority. So they should just embrace that and move on. This cannot be the case. I mean, the end is, I'll be shocked and surprised if they change the position on this matter. That will tell a lot in this country that they themselves are not ready for power. And the followers will be disappointed in them because you cannot change this position at this point in time where it is all clear and obvious that you are now a majority leader. And we are hoping that they will do us good and also, and then deal with the e-levy and then betting tax.
Okay.
For the teeny youth and the teeny and the entire majority and the entire Ghanaian, that is what I was even thinking that they will even be smart enough and then pass this bill for us to be free. Okay. With this energy that Baumia imposed on us.
Okay. So that Delade, he is a political and social activist. Let me bring in Nana Karikari, then I'll come to the studio. Nana, from where you're based, the 15% of MPs have asked the Speaker to recall the House. What's your expectation?
You know what? It's election year, and we can't help but ask ourselves, how did we get here? We should be focusing on the elections. We should be focusing on the policies that these candidates are putting forth for voters to be able to make the right decision when they get to the polls. Unfortunately, our legislative action is in gridlock, and this shouldn't be the case. Again, here the Supreme Court is the highest court of the land. We have no choice but to sit and wait. This, I just want to point out how these the politicians, the MPP, NDC leaders in Parliament should have put the country first instead of putting who is the majority, who is the minority. Our political leaders are so involved, so interested in titles instead of actually doing the job that they were sent to do. And this is where we are right now. And I'll tell you that sadly, that we don't have to do anything. We have to sit and wait for the Supreme Court, since they have intervened and since their word will carry more weight than the Speaker of Parliament. Why are they now writing, signing letters for what? I understand that business can carry on, but they cannot make any decision. They should have thought about that when they were playing the cat and dog fight, talking about who majority, I'm not the majority, instead of thinking about the legislative actions that will help solve the pressing issues that Ghanaians are facing, with one being on top, which is the economy. And that's what we should have done. But I mean, we've gotten here. There's no turning back. We just have to sit and wait, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Grateful to you. Nana Karikari, she is a Ghanaian journalist based in the USA. Now, this one says, hi, Joy FM. You see the statement he made that the NDC doesn't understand democracy. This is a thinking of MPP of monopolistic idea that they are the paragon of knowledge and everything. NDC should keep being victim of political and election circumstances. Both will face is on any matter, and we see who understands democracy or not. Francis in Accra. David, you are a lawyer. What's your expectation of what Parliament should do?
So I think that we are faced with a very unique situation. Constitutional crisis. I think this is the time our politicians have to be responsible leaders, and they have to show a lot of maturity and discipline in getting what the people of Ghana want them to get for them. I mean, like you mentioned, there's a lot of important business for the House to consider. Even recently, we know organized labor called off their strike based on certain promises that the president made to them in relation to stopping galamsey, which even involved the repealing of a regulation in parliament. We have such pressing issues and so many important things to deal with as a country that it should not be about who is majority or who is minority. Mm. Our institutions have spoken, and currently the Supreme Court has said the status quo in parliament should be maintained. So our leaders have to be mature enough to follow what the Supreme Court has said now and continue acting in the interest of Ghanaians and not in their own selfish partisan interest, because that's not going to get us anywhere. The normal Ghanaian on the street today, he is hungry. It's not now he's looking for a government shutdown to even worsen the situation. Investors already coming to Ghana, seeing polluted water bodies, seeing the kind of things which go on, do not have much faith in our economy. And now we want to dampen it by even further destroying our institutions. I don't think it's right. So I expect our leaders to go back to parliament, to go back and continue transacting business, to go back and ensure that the country is back on track.
David Kretos is a lawyer. Thank you for connecting with us. Now, this one says, good evening, all. Is the act of these four parliamentarians punishable or not? If yes, what is it then? Like in a football game, when certain fouls are committed, penalty kick is awarded. Why deny NDC the penalty advantage? Don Mickey Jr. From Adringano connected with us there. Let me bring you this. This one says... Let me bring this one. This one has a lot of, please, if your message has insult, I'll probably not do it. But this one is clear. It says, is it correct to use interpret? I keep hearing interpretate. Okay, so one person was saying it. I thank you. The right word is interpret, which is correct. Please correct for the sake of your discerning listeners, especially listeners. So the right word is interpret, not interpretate. Thank you. Now, this one says, okay. Okay. All right. Like I said, your message should be quite clear here. Then I could take it. If it has insulting them, forgive me, I may not be able to take it. But this one says, could your Ghanaians would have accepted the verdict of the Supreme Court if they were not appointed by the current government? Ghanaians are waiting patiently. This is Nancy connecting with us from Osu. All right, let me deal with this one here. This one says, hello, good evening, Ghana Connect, please. If NDC party is not majority in parliament, that means NPP government don't know the law. In 2020, and we don't have any Supreme Court in Ghana. In 2020, or when you have power, you have everything. So NPP government is showing that they have power. From Ras, humility inside Agbozome. Well, the law is clear. When Supreme Court, when you feel that some provisions of the law has to be given interpretation, that lies with the Supreme Court to do. And it's the Supreme Court that is clothed with that particular power to do that for us. Well, this has been Ghana Connect. My name is Samuel Kojo-Brace. I sat in for your regular host, Kweku Asante. Wherever you connected with us from, I'm grateful that you could do so. This is still Joy FM. Let's meet tomorrow at Legon, where we do have...